when Alcon waited into montage, you're like, the show itself is horrible. Yeah. Except for the 5 minutes with Billy Crystal.
It's not really awesome.
What?
You know what? I really liked it.
My grandpa's met Kurt
Douglas.
Everyone shit on it. They said it was too much trying to be like random.
Hey, everybody!
Come on, man.
Counter guys.
Talking about the events.
We just got podcasted.
Hey, dudes. Welcome to the Octavarius podcast. This is episode 57 of the podcast.
I just want to say I'm really sad that Windbone didn't win anything.
Alice in Wonderland and the Wolfman won stuff. So.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, now we can all go buy our DVDs of Oscar winner The Wolfman. So that's fun.
Not renting Windbone.
I did.
Shutting me out.
I saw half of Windbone, and it was good. And then I fell asleep because I was tigered.
Oh, I get it now.
We talked about it a lot. Well, I talked about it a lot last week in the podcast.
All right. Without any further ado, let's start off at the far end of the room. Sound off.
Nick Makula.
LP.
Scott.
It's Chris.
Brian.
Keith. Colonel Tins.
Lauren.
It's Cloud.
And Mark.
And it looks like we're all... Oh, shit! The mailbag!
Hold on. Guys, I think I found it. Hang on 1 second. I'm just trying to get it open.
Here's a bell. That's a mailbag.
Not a chance in the world people can tell what that is.
You'd be surprised at how loud it is, though.
This one comes to us from one April March. from Springfield, Illinois.
Well, you did it again, Musinski.
And April writes, "Hey, Octavarius, I'm so sick of it being cold outside. What comes after winter? Because I am so looking forward to it. Winter is cold and crappy. I just hope there's something that's like pleasant, warmer. Maybe plants can start growing again. What is up with that?"
You don't think that the topic of spring ever came up between April, May, and her parents?
No. Well, this is the time where we have to reveal to April, March. Winter's never going to end.
Oh, April, March, was it?
May is her sister. May, March.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry, April.
Yeah,
it
just goes on forever, right?
Yeah.
It feels like it.
Well, podcast is over, guys. Yeah.
Like, I will say, everyone's always complaining, but, like, I would prefer to have seasons rather than just be warm all year long.
Fuck seasons.
There's a big thing about people from the Midwest are a lot more well-rounded because they experience a lot more different climates. They have all four seasons. Whereas if you go to a different area... They'll have, either mostly cold or mostly warm, and there's not a whole lot of in-between.
And Chicago seasons, they're not just like, it's summer. No, it's like, here's summer, here's you sleeping naked because it's 104 degrees out, or here's Chicago, -30 degrees, you wear like paint jackets.
Although, other places that don't necessarily have, like, winter like we do, they also have, like, a severe hurricane season where they just have hurricanes all the time.
Yeah.
It's like, well, all right, that warm part of the year's over. Now warm death time is upon us. So it's interesting, like, your regional placement affects the seasons you have. We think of seasons
before. Yeah, other parts of the country, there's tornado time, too.
Yeah, it's like season really is like... a time, like an amount of, like a certain time of year. It's like, it's tornado season.
Like, I guess I've been bitching about winter a lot. I feel like I've been bitching about winter more this year than I ever have. But, I mean, at least God's not trying to kill us, like, 4 months out of the year in this region.
Hey, somebody died in the blizzard of 2011.
So take that, Tim.
But he was, like, a super sinner.
That's true.
No, but it is true. I remember when I was like a real little boy, the first time I wore a pair of shorts, I cried because it felt so weird on my legs.
Really?
And I have to imagine that happens to everyone from Alaska, because we've never had to deal with what we've had to deal with.
You think every Alaskan cries and they put on shorts for
they
the
don't
first
know what it's supposed to feel
They've never
like.
Had to deal with comfortable weather.
They don't understand.
They don't have to deal with this pleasant 70-degree nonsense.
Yeah, it gets okay in lower Alaska.
That's not what cartoons and other things stereotype Alaska
to. Uppies, right? Yeah, they do get decent weather just for way shorter of a time. Yeah. Like, I've seen beautiful pictures of Alaska with lush greenery and eagles flying around and shit.
Yeah, well, and they don't, during the time that their weather is nice, the day lasts like 20 hours. So if you add up all the sunshiny hours, it might not be as bad.
Does the groundhogs, seeing its shadow or not affect Alaska? Or is that just like a continental United States?
They have ground caribou there. So the caribou burrow into their holes for the winter. And then Juno Jack pokes his head out of his hole on February 2nd and tells the grizzled old bearded mayor whether or not there will be another 18 weeks of winter.
I gotta say, my ass is a little chapped this year. I'm a little frustrated because the groundhog saw its shadow on Groundhog.
What does that mean?
Or did not see its shadow. So the groundhog predicted an early spring. But it's, we're getting pretty close to the end of February, or we are at the end of February right now, and technically that early spring would start kicking in right now.
Hey, it's been raining.
Yeah.
It's been raining more than it's been snowing
lately.
But
then the rain froze last night, so...
It's a weaning process.
This groundhog is fucking with my shit, is what I'm saying.
This is how
I don't appreciate
how I determine the seasons. I have no other choice but to go by the beer. And it's a comedy.
No other choice, not a single one.
Well, me and Castelvi were talking about how the other choice is to go by preschool time, which is like there's the rainy, the cloud seasons, and then there's the sunshine, and then there's the leaves falling, and then there's the snow time.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is the preschool time, which is the only way I know seasons.
It's very idealistic time.
Yeah.
See, the thing about the beer is that I've noticed that it seems like fall and spring always are the two seasons that get shafted, at least here in Chicago.
What?
Winter lasts forever, and summer, like, you can buy summer beer almost year-round, but spring beer, especially, I'm a big fan of the Sam Adams Noble Pils, it's out for, like, a month and a half, and so is the October.
I feel like fall gets a nicer selection, or at least a bigger selection of beers, though. I think spring is the one that ultimately gets the big shaft.
It gets shafted. I can't name any spring beers.
Fall has Oktoberfest.
Hopslam. Bell's is Hopslam's coming out soon.
Hopslam.
Speaking of, like, spring beers, like, I wonder if they get, like, a short, like, staff, if that's an expression, but... You think about the, like, bars, like, specifically in Chicago, though, as soon as it gets warm, like, that first warm day, which sometimes happens on St. Patrick's
Day. Makes big difference.
Everyone's in a bar, and those bars are packed. Yeah. As opposed to fall, where it's like, eh, it's getting kind of cold, I might not go out, the bars are not nearly as crowded. So that affects, like, I don't know, the amount of people in a bar given a certain time. Like,
I remember last St. Patrick's Day, it was actually really nice out. And, and Orbit Room, the bar I work at,
it was a beautiful day.
California and Wellington in Chicago, Illinois, has a beautiful outdoor patio, and it's huge. And we were slammed. And we weren't even prepared because, you know, it had been cold the last few weeks. And so we only had a few tables out on the patio. But we just got slammed because it was nice out and it was St. Patrick's Day.
And everyone, as soon as it gets nice out, everyone's like, get me out of my apartment. I've been here for too long. I'm tired of playing Mass Effect 2.
Get me into a bar.
Get me into a bar.
I actually remember that day last year. Tins and I were in such a good mood. We went cruising around in my car listening to pure funk.
And the Buomo.
Yeah, we did.
We did.
We went and... like, picked up your glasses or some shit, didn't we?
And, well, so not only did we pick up my glasses, but then we went to the music store and you bought a bass.
Oh my god, that was the same day.
We did.
Oh man, my bass is almost a year old.
That's actually funky.
Really funky. We had a funky way into spring.
I think that's one thing about dealing with really shitty winters is then the spring is just magical and you just want to go outside and, like, spin around. You're like, it's warm outside!
The first time it's warm here in Chicago, I will go out for a walk. I don't care if it's, like, nighttime, so daytime, walking time is when it's warm.
Oh, walks are great in Chicago when it's nice out.
And then you see everybody in the city is out because they all are like, God, we've been inside for so long. Yeah.
Remember, we took a great walk. We went to the down by the lake.
We had a wonderful walk together.
Yeah, there was, like, that little park that I didn't know existed, and all those fun, like, little cars that you can jump on.
What?
What? Wait.
Oh, yeah.
Jump on cars.
Everybody that's not
me and
Lauren.
It's just north of Belmont on the lake shore where people can run. There's like a little rubber playground, and it's got little set-in cars.
Yeah.
You can sit in those cars and have your friends in another car and yell at each other as if you're in traffic.
Yeah.
You can
be just like your parents.
Because they're cemented to the ground.
Okay, well, here's spring... inevitably leads to spring break.
Mm-hmm. Yes!
It's another one of those American pastimes where it's you've been inside all winter and spring break is supposed to be like where you go out where it's warm and you do something crazy.
You guys had some pretty sweet spring break trips.
I think we covered that in a few podcasts.
Yeah, I'm sure we did.
A big part of my development from a child into a man was watching MTV Spring Break as a kid.
Hoping for a little bit of titty.
Yeah.
Never getting the titty.
It sets you up for unrealistic expectations.
Completely unrealistic.
It's like titties, and then there aren't any. It's like bullshit.
Maybe we're going to like Cancun or something for spring break?
No, but I have a funny story about my brother-in-law going to Cancun.
Oh, your brother-in-law went to Cancun
for
spring break?
Yeah, he went to U of I, and apparently, because of this, U of I now tells everyone when, because I guess like groups from like U of I, or they will fund like everyone to Cancun. Apparently, there's this huge cult of fake cabs that pick everyone up at bars.
What?
Taxi cabs,
yeah. That a cult is...
cult. Are you saying cult or cult?
Cult. It's another word I can't say.
Cult. Because it wouldn't be a cult. It would be like a group, a scam.
Okay. But what they do?
And maybe it's a cult.
I don't know.
Okay.
But my brother-in-law, you know, you go to this area, you get trashed at bars, and you walk out. You don't know where you are. And
in Cancun.
Cancun, yeah. And you hail a cab, and it's just they're not like in Chicago where it says like yellow taxi or it'll say like a number on it. They're just kind of like.
It's like a dude's car with a sign that says
exactly.
Cab.
You get onto it, and apparently he got into it, and then as soon as he got in the car, someone else just jumped into the back seat with a knife. And they said, we're going to all these ATMs.
Oh my God.
You're going to dump out all your cash. And
whoa.
He's like, and he's drunk, so he's like, sure. Like, he has no idea what's going on.
This is a crazy cult.
Exactly. Yeah, and they're driving around, and they and he lost like $300, $400 because he only takes so much out of an ATM before it. Mm-hmm. Will cut you off.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
And finally, they go right in front of a bar, and he just starts yelling to a bunch of his U of I buddies, like, help me, this is, like, I'm being, like, robbed right now. And then a bunch of, like, cops came out. So he went to the police station, and they're like, this happens every year, that just a bunch of cabs that are fake cabs just take a bunch of people who don't know anything about where they are, they're usually shit-faced, and just rob all their money.
Yeah, I had a buddy go to Amsterdam, and he was... He, like, departed from his friends, went to a bar because they didn't want to go out. So he went to a bar, drank, had a guy, like, chatting him up, just, like, asking him about America and blah, blah, blah. And the guy bought him a drink. And he was like, oh, you know, I feel funny. So he stands up and he starts, like, he's like, oh, man, I'm dizzy. And he's like, oh, this guy put something in my drink. So he makes for his bike. And as soon as he opens the door, he, like, stumbles, he falls. And it's so weird because he was telling me, he describes it as like, I felt myself passing out and I saw the guy coming at me and there was like literally nothing I can do. That's like amazing. I saw him and it was almost like he could have just been smiling at me and there was like nothing I can do. And he said he woke up in nothing but his underwear.
What?
And his bike, the guy left his bike though.
Jesus.
Yeah, like, it always seems awesome at first, but then it turns out terrifying for a lot of people. If
you're that dumb and that horny and that drunk in that strange of a place, bad shit. They don't tell you that on Carson Daly's Jerry Springer thing where he comes in and the couples have to switch bathing suits.
I like that game.
Yeah, okay. Thank you, Bebo. I feel like I'm the only one who remembers
now.
These.
I don't know. It was just a lot of names and a lot of stimuli real fast. We had to deal.
I not only watched all the MTV Spring Break things, but I would watch all the MTV Behind the Spring Break stories things every year. And they would always tell the same stories.
I remember
watch it.
There was the one story where downtown Julie Brown talked about how Jean-Claude Van Damme would hit on the dancers.
Yeah, he was like a creep.
He would, like, sexually harass them.
Then there was the one where these kids totally punked Jerry Springer.
Yeah, they lied.
They lied to him.
Yes, they did.
They went on Jerry Springer's show, and it was like a my girlfriend's cheating on me type thing.
Yes.
And it was two guys and a girl, and they planned it out. And they basically made it look like this guy got destroyed on Jerry Springer.
He cried and everything.
Yeah, he cried, and his girlfriend left him for his best friend, and it was this big, horrible, real moment.
Jerry was visibly upset.
Yeah, they really upset everyone on the Jerry. And then, like, afterwards, they revealed to, like, a newspaper that they set the whole thing up to make him look like assholes, and they bested Jerry Springer.
And Jerry Springer said he was very relieved. He wasn't upset about it. He was just relieved because he was so worried about these people. I wonder what that must be like for him to have all this conflict and fighting around him all the time. I would be so worried about these people I meet that are always fighting.
I knew someone who was on Jerry Springer.
What?
Really?
It was somebody's stepsister, so I knew him. I didn't know. His stepsister was real trashy, so, like, you know, you wonder about Jerry Springer, like, how much is fake, how much is real, and, like, she really was just kind of, like, a crazy slut who liked to punch people. So, like, wow. I think it was, like, they tell you to play up, you know, the anger, and it's, like, they encourage the fights to happen, but, like, I think half those people are actually that trashy and slutty. Yeah.
I'd say it's more like three quarters of those people are actually that trashy and slutty. Because, you know, you need a forum.
I talked to somebody who actually worked in part with, like, Jerry Springer when it was...
we had a gal that went to school with us.
Yeah.
Did that.
And a lot of it actually is, like, they bring in people that have problems and they sort of say, all right, you have this problem, but it's actually a little more like this. So they get people with a small problem and they sort of enhance the problem to make it a little more entertaining.
Huh.
Hmm. I guess speaking of trashy and slutty, spring always reminds me of love.
That's a big thing, is that love blossoms in spring.
Except Mars is named after the god of war. March is named after Mars, the god of war.
Mars is named after Mars.
Yep.
Well, you think about it, you have March Madness, huge competition with bloodshed if they play rough in basketball.
People
have lanterns.
March of the Penguins.
It's usually
March
like a penguins. Skinned knee or an elbow.
Blood is still involved.
Kratos. I don't know. Like, it's always isn't it always the trope of people getting smitten in spring?
All my relationships
are starting. Flowers are blooming. Everything is beautiful. Everything's growing again. There's life everywhere.
Do you guys feel you more pressure to fall in love in spring?
I feel just the opposite.
I don't think I feel pressure necessarily. I think it just
it's always sometimes. There.
Part of it might be that you're just out more too.
I was just gonna say maybe that's it. Is we're you know I'd spend a whole lot more time indoors during the winter because I hate winter. Fucking hate winter.
But because you're indoors,
I hate it. Sorry.
I always thought that it was like. Spring and summer, everyone's putting on their sexy clothes because it's all hot, and you're going out to these parties, you're on the beach and stuff like that. That's more single time. And then, you know, once winter and, you know, like fall and winter roll around, that's when everybody's going inside. It's
everyone's
the holidays.
Like
you
wearing
be
their ugly-ass sweaters and stuff.
Yeah, you, like, put on a little weight, so you're kind of with someone you feel comfortable around. You know, like, that's... It seems like fall and winter...
You can put on weight when you're single, man. It's real easy.
Yeah, I think it's easier to lose weight when you're with somebody because you want to, like, be sexy for them.
No, that's not true.
No, you get the fight's already done.
It's all about fishing. You got to buy the expensive bait when you want to get some good fish. Once you have some cool
use
fish...
Use the worms.
You buy cheap bait and you give it to the fish to keep them alive.
Keep mixing out the juice.
Say what you want, but every year I just get better looking. I just feel like each year I'm better looking than the last.
BWO's legendary modesty.
I
think guys are lucky like that.
I totally, yeah.
We do look better as we age.
I love getting older because I just get better looking. I'm so less awkward than I used to be.
Sorry, ladies.
As dudes age, they get better looking and then they hit a point and then they start... You know, you'll look more more distinguished or more authoritarian. I don't think
authoritarian. Like the women love.
I think when I'm
real true. Alec Baldwin.
I feel like we've all gotten better looking as we've gotten older.
I feel like when I become an old man, I'm gonna be like the Dos Equis old man.
Sweet man.
Yeah. greatest
I'll
man
hang out
ever
with
lived.
You, and oh, you'll man. Look awesome. And
did
I'll
you know
awesome.
That he's actually just an old Jewish man?
That's yes, he is.
Really?
He is an old Jewish
yeah,
man.
He's just
yeah.
an old Jewish man.
Have you guys ever played the game where you're on the L or, let's say, in traffic or something, and you see someone, and you're like, that looks like, let's say, that's like Brian Wool in 20 years.
Yeah,
have you guys
yeah.
ever done that?
Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
I love playing that game.
We saw the most future Mark ever.
It was insane.
It
did
was,
he look really
I could not believe it.
Really Jewy, Lauren? Did he look really Jewy? Are you assuming that Mark is going to increase in Jew from now till then? No, he just looked like Mark. Like Mark, Mark,
Mark. And he really looked like Mark, but in about, what, 15, 20 years?
Yeah, he was on his way to somewhere important, too, and it was like a Saturday.
Just like
Mark.
Just
like Mark would.
Yeah, Mark's always on his way to something important.
Yeah.
Did he have a beard?
Yeah. No, he didn't have a beard.
I thought he had no, he didn't, but I think it was during a time where Mark also
Yeah, Mark didn't
have
a beard at the time. So it worked great, and he had that great, bright red hair.
Beautiful red hair.
And you could just see, he had a really nice face, but God, he was thinking about something real hard.
Yeah.
I don't want to interrupt anything, but I just wanted to point out that I'm looking at our Twitterverse feed. We are at Octavarius, by the way, if you want to join our Twitter conversations. And Twitter user James_Chase, he made the point, can Biwo's legendary modesty be a recurring segment? Which I would love to keep ramming down everyone's throats.
Hey everybody, I got to work on time today.
Biwo's legendary modesty. I think it's also just a general Octavarius modesty. We're pretty great.
Yeah.
As individuals.
Is it, I'm sorry. Look, I'm looking at everybody in the room. I'm just saying, as time has gone on, everyone in this room has gotten better looking.
Well, it's like your body.
I don't feel that's a terrible thing.
Yeah.
But I've always been cute.
There you go.
No, but
now we're better looking.
Well, like, we all met each other, like, most of us, like, in high school. And, like, if you're like me in high school, like, you had a big head but a short body.
That's how all kids look in high school.
They all do.
And then the only one of you I knew in high school was Cloud. Because I knew it
was
speech.
We competed.
We competed against each other. We didn't really know each other. But other than that, I didn't know any of you in high school.
Yeah. You know why I realized, like, adults hate you when you're a teenager?
Yeah.
You're so ugly.
Right?
And
we got braces.
I look at kids now, I'm like, God damn it, you're ugly. Like, just all weird shaped and wrong.
If you know a couple things, you think you know a lot more than you actually do. So people at you and like, you shithead, quit talking so loud in this restaurant.
You ugly, ugly shithead.
There's ugly adults everywhere, though.
Oh, yeah. I'm not saying there's any ugly adults, but, like, all teenagers are ugly.
Like, they're all... None of them have grown into their bodies.
Not the ones that look like adults.
You are breaking the hearts of teenage girls everywhere.
Yeah,
right
they're
all our teenagers. You don't have a shot with Keith.
Nick Carter was cute as a teenager.
So?
Do you guys think Obama was cute as a teenager?
He was a nerd.
What the fuck are you talking about?
I'm just wondering.
I haven't seen Obama looks like a dude who totally got good looking, like, after he was, like, 24.
Yeah.
See, the thing is, like... I kind of look like a freak, like going back to that for a second. And that's, but that's, if you knew me when I was younger, I used to wear really baggy jeans and baggy sweatshirts and like just everything was.
Did you listen to rap?
Kind of. But I used
no.
to.
No.
What did you listen to that you consider rap, Nick?
It wasn't. Okay, so I was trying. I lied to LP. I didn't listen to rap. I listened to Moby. Whatever. Deal with it. And
nobody listens to techno.
No. Oh, you're too old.
That's
enough. All right. But I used to wear the baggy pants to make the rest of my body look longer or linkier or to match the size of my head.
Hmm.
So that is my confession of why I wore baggy pants in high school and college.
Did you think that, like, as a high schooler, you're like, man, my head is huge?
I didn't think that. I knew that. Like, I looked in the mirror and I saw, like, this looks weird. this is not good.
I never thought that about you at the time.
Well, thank you.
Did anyone else think they looked really weird in high school?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. All the time.
Man,
that's
why.
I think that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
No.
Always
I had like my only problem I had was my freshman sophomore year I just had like zits on my forehead, but it went away.
Gross.
And then junior senior year I was just a stud.
Wow.
Boom.
Let's see, when I was in seventh grade I was pretty ugly, and then when I was a freshman I was still pretty ugly, And then, when I was a junior, though, things turned around, and I was almost average. And then I went to college. I was sort of still kind of ugly again. And then,
I've seen pictures of you.
Then I got to be like a junior and senior in college. I started looking pretty okay. Now I'm gorgeous. Dude, you're
handsome. I think what made it for me in high school was the Rhythm Knights uniform. As soon as I put on that like cheerleading uniform, I was like, yeah, I'm the shit.
The Rhythm Knights?
Yeah.
The
Rhythm Knights? I was a palmer. You know?
Okay. Pom-pom? I'm tweeting right now for all our Twitter followers. You can actually see Barack Obama in college.
He's actually kind of cute.
Yeah, he was looking good in college.
Did he have like a mini fro?
Yeah.
His haircut reminds me a little bit of Willis from Different Strokes.
Is it like big? Is it like maybe like Scottie Pippen's 96 fro?
No, it's like Willis from Different Strokes.
Like big. Okay.
That's a good reference, though.
Hey, you know, Chris, what you tweet talking? A picture of Willis from Different Strokes.
Why not? Whatever.
But say it's Barack Obama and see if anyone calls
people you will know. Willis and Barack Obama do not look alike. They just have similar...
Whatever, tweet them both. Whatever. I get...
That's a handsome man right there.
What's the show called again? Which one
Different Strokes.
Tweet it and say, pick the president.
To the beat of just one drum, what may be just right for you, maybe not the right for someone. You know, I feel like I've always been a little bit self-conscious about like how many tweets is too many tweets. So I've thought about that for Octavarius and for my own personal Twitter until earlier today, because I guess everyone was talking about Norm MacDonald's Twitter Oscar coverage. It was fucking ridiculous.
Was that like every 2 seconds?
He throughout the 3 hours of the Oscars, dude must have tweeted 300 times.
Wow. Really?
Yeah.
He's one of my favorites ever.
That is a thing. I always wonder if, that's a lot. Because I know there's been times like where like I'm following somebody, like somebody famous on Twitter, and like, but see, I don't get them sent to my phone anymore. When I used to get them as the text messages. If they were really into something and they had very insightful things about something I didn't care about at all.
Yeah.
Don't care about the race you're watching, you know.
Or like, yeah, if somebody's at a concert and they're tweeting the shit out of it throughout, like you don't want to hear 11 tweets about fucking Lady Antebellum, you know?
I find that hilarious, though. I love hearing people's like accounts that they want to give to me. I think that's really funny.
And then
I can just imagine them, you know, experiencing it and being like, oh man, I gotta tell everybody.
It's like when someone calls you, where like you do it and people are like, oh man, call me when this song comes on, and it always sucks. Like,
yeah,
it always sounds terrible. You're screaming, you just hear everyone else screaming it. It's like, but I always try it. Mm-hmm. There's people I always do it. Last time I went to a concert, I did it.
Like, the fact that you do it is fun. Like, I remember being at the Kanye concert, just like, call my boyfriend, like, dude, it's your favorite song. And, like, just the fact that you do
why
it.
Why didn't
it's
you
like,
get tickets?
I'm having a great time without you.
Oh, great time.
That's awesome. I saw, there was a marching band thing I saw when I was a really cool high school kid. I went to a DCI, Drum Corps International,
those
which is like,
sick.
Yeah, they're like the best, they're like professional marching band pretty much, and they're nuts, and it rained, so they all had to go indoors, so it was in one of those like, field house things, so everything was loud as fuck, and the guy held like a note for like a full minute, he had all of them holding for a full minute, and someone got called on their cell phone, and the drum major climbed down from his podium, he grabbed the cell phone, walked, and just held it directly in front of the band, just directly into the sound, then gave it back, then cut them off. It was nuts.
Boom.
Yeah.
Hey, I have a bad spring break story from one James C. Via our Facebook thread that's going right now. I asked for terrible, horrible, no good, very bad spring break stories, and I hope he's cool with me reading this on the podcast.
Posted on Facebook.
Yeah, whatever. He says, I was with some friends in Florida, senior year of high school. It was late and I had too much to drink. I reached out for a nice, cool bottle of water for a huge swig. Too late, I realized that it was actually vodka. That pushed me over the edge and I puked for the next 2 hours. Spring break!
Spring break!
That's not that bad.
That's not what MTV made you think spring break would actually be.
Yeah, I thought it would be like he'd reach out for that water bottle and it was a dick.
Or I thought he'd like reach out for the water bottle and it turns out it was a root beer.
Or a big old bug.
Or a snake.
What did you guys do during spring when you were kids?
I was just about to talk
about it. Because all I've been thinking about for the past half hour
I played soccer.
I played baseball.
But baseball was more of a summer thing. My baseball in my town started in June. We'd go like June through August.
We started soccer. Soccer was spring, and then
baseball.
Like the spring times of my childhood were awesome.
Oh yeah,
because that was like my birthday's in April, so it was like and it's also Easter, and my parents always threw kick ass like or my mom and my aunt and uncle used to throw kick ass Easter like shindigs where they had eggs everywhere with cash in them. It's like.
Right?
There's no candy cash in them. That's
just
awesome.
Like Jesus did.
I went to one or two like that in my day. Those are the ones I remember.
Those are the good ones.
You want to make memories, parents? Put some money on the ground.
And then in
our Easter
baskets, they would give us one action figure. And it was free action figure for no reason? Awesome.
Yeah. That's great. Hey, speaking of Easter eggs, did your parents ever put hard-boiled eggs out to find?
Oh, yeah.
I think mine just knew the possible repercussions that could arise from that.
Yeah, such as my parents put out little plastic eggs full of candy and like quarters, and then they also put out some hard-boiled eggs to find. And this one year, I was probably maybe 15 years old.
Uh-oh.
I just happened to reach into a hanging plant that had been there my entire life, and I pulled out a hard-boiled egg. From Easter, probably 10 years prior.
Oh, my God. How long did it take for you to wash the stank off your hands?
Didn't smell at all.
It was just an egg?
It was just a hard-boiled egg.
It never hatched?
I think it was sliced open and the yolk is like completely green.
That's horrible.
But it just like it was like rubber. It just broke. It was weird.
We would do egg rolling contests where you'd roll the egg.
You know
with
what?
Through
all the times that I've heard about egg roll, like the White House does an egg roll on the lawn every year, right?
Yeah,
what the hell is an egg roll?
It's a delicious Chinese juice.
All right, what is the other definition of an egg roll?
So you have these hard-boiled eggs.
Okay.
And
they're hard-boiled. Okay.
And you're usually on a lawn. The kids get a spoon, and they will try to roll the egg along the lawn, and it's a race.
Oh, that sounds so boring.
As a child, it's fucking awesome.
You push an egg with a spoon across the lawn.
But if you win a prize.
But it's hard-boiled. Though, right? You said it was hard boiled.
Yeah, but then you get a prize.
Where's the danger?
Yeah, well, there's no risk. You can hit that shit as hard as you want.
The risk is
you
don't get a fucking prize, Tins.
Because why? Because I know how to spoon race better than the other kids.
It's probably like blackjack.
That's exactly it.
Jesus
is risen.
Back up, if you please, be well. What, Makula?
It's probably like blackjack.
Explain.
If you hit it over the finish line, you can't restart. You know what I mean?
What?
Yeah. I get what you're saying.
Just like blackjack.
If you go over the number, you're done.
I catch what you're saying.
Are you kidding?
Just like crashing into a wall.
You know, but that's what I'm saying. Like, I was thinking the same thing. Tim's like, what if I just whack the shit out of this thing? You know?
It's going to go off course. You're going to have to run after it.
But then you're done. Game over. You can't restart. You can't get a mulligan, is what we're talking golf.
You might be past the finish line 15 degrees off course, but you're still close to the finish line.
Or you could just not play the game like a fucking douchebag.
Play
it the way you're supposed to and have fun. It's springtime. It's a child.
Whatever.
It's just a race. It's just a race.
The
Makula.
Man, when my kids do the egg roll, they can egg roll all the fucking times they want. I'll see them at brunch in an hour.
Dude,
Nick,
let's
you guys
talk
go to
about
sweet
brunch.
Brunches?
Yeah,
always.
Spring is a time of brunches.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Brunch rules.
Mark and I just went to brunch. High five.
I've never gone out to brunch in Chicago. I've just gone to like brunches as a child.
You should go to Duffy's, where Lauren and I went.
It's $15, all you can eat and drink mimosas and brunch.
You would.
And
they have, yeah, they have four flavors of mimosa.
You've been pushing this for like over a year, man.
It's pretty good.
It's
yeah,
awesome.
But that also requires me to get up on a Sunday.
Exactly, Brian.
I mean, they go till like 2.
Not if you want to not wait for an hour to get a table. Yeah.
True.
If you get there by 11, you're good.
One thing I love to do at brunch is I love the prime rib. You know, those brunches, those Easter brunches with prime rib and the omelet station.
Yeah. I was going to say, I think brunch, I normally think more breakfast food than
the best
traditional
brunches
lunch
have
food.
More lunch.
Yeah, prime rib and ham.
It's
breakfast
surprise.
Is the best. Oh,
not dude, when it's prime rib.
Oh, and for dessert, you got to give me some chocolate covered strawberries.
Nice.
Oh.
And cheesecakes of various types.
Oh,
man, there's a...
don't forget that cheesecake.
The brunch place that my family would go to, it's pretty much like every Easter now, it's called Richard Walker's. It's out in the suburbs.
Oh,
I don't know if you guys have ever been there.
I love
but
we got
Benedict. They do green eggs and ham, and that's fun. Fun for
wait,
the kids.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
How do you die in the inside of an egg green?
Die?
No, yeah. Like they just do like scrambled eggs or over easy or whatever, and there's just a little bit of dye in them, I assume.
It's an apple pancake.
I don't know. Yeah, I never had the green eggs and ham. I always get the delicious it's an apple pancake, but it's covered in like handfuls of pecans.
Oh, and is that how do you think they do it?
Like,
see, that just is grab. He just reaches into a giant bucket of pecans and just tosses a few handfuls in.
The thing about this pancake, it's such a damn good pancake. The thing has to be nearly a foot in diameter, and I'm barely exaggerating.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
It's the kind of like you have to. It's a pancake. You have
to
wait longer for.
I've had it before. It's pretty big.
It's the kind of like you literally. They literally say like allow 45 minutes or so for your pancake to be done because we have to just leave it in the oven for a while.
I like the, as opposed to that, the German pancake or the Dutch baby.
What is a Dutch baby? What is the other definition of a Dutch baby?
Tim saw me waiting to jump on.
Spring is kite weather too, right? It's a good time to fly a kite.
Not in Tennessee.
Not for Dutch babies.
It does rain though a lot.
You know, I was never a big kite person, but like the couple of times I owned kites, I would just get frustrated. I would take them out like 1 or 2 days every year and get frustrated with how little it flies and then go inside.
Yeah.
And it's going to be bocce ball weather.
That's a game that takes a while for no reason.
what is it, bocce ball? Is it like a Dutch baby?
Something like that.
A Dutch baby is a fluffy pancake.
Bocce ball is basically, there's a bunch of people all playing for themselves, basically. It's an individual game.
Well, or you do teams if you have the same colored balls.
Or you could be by yourself and win every time.
No.
You take, like, they're almost like croquet balls. That's the kind of feel they have. One person throws their ball, like, into the woods or something.
It's like a little marker.
Wait, are there markers?
Yeah,
oh, I just played.
It's markers. It's
well,
not you
no,
played.
No, no, no.
It's
well,
not
I,
just arbitrary.
Well, no.
Ball.
I thought it was the first player throws or rolls their ball or whatever, and everyone else has to get closest to
which,
it. Yeah. What have I been playing?
That's pretty right. There's like a white little marker ball that looks like a ping pong ball.
You guys want to play Chin's ball
the team
that doesn't start throwing their balls first throws this little white ball, and that's the target you have to aim for.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No, that's
Chin's
right.
Ball?
The Chin's ball is what Chin's just described.
It's just
bocce ball where one person just gets to decide how tough the round is, but also doesn't get to earn as many points.
Just throws a ball.
Because they are the marker.
Yeah, I always thought it was kind of like
a waste
like,
of ball.
Like Schalf rules, really.
Schalf is the best.
We haven't talked about Schalf on the podcast.
That's a spring game.
What the heck is Schalf?
Oh, remember when we could say things like, it's almost Schalf season.
Schalf, ladies and gentlemen, was a game that that was spawned in a rehearsal for a show that me and Keith and Castelvi and a couple other of our buddies were in my sophomore year,
freshman year
of college, where it's kind of like bocce ball. In that you remove one shoe and you have a goal in mind.
You
say
keep
like
it on your foot. Like you don't like take it off. It's sort of
you slip
on
it
on and you kick your foot so that you throw your shoe with your foot. You can get pretty good where you can start getting that like 50, like 70 feet.
You know,
like
I think I remember you guys doing that on the campus.
You set a goal. You say like that oak tree way back there. It's a par four. Yeah.
It's got to like hit the tree. You know what? Also do like through a circle. So or,
do you have to hop to get assertion. To your shoe then?
Well, it depends on how dirty you want your socks to get.
I am convinced we are the only people who've ever done this and used that term, shelf. I can't find anything about anybody else saying shelf. There's one mention of shelf on Twitter, and it's wanting two, or she's trying to say two, but there's a P in there. Too many men at the moment, or shelf, I say boys, because they're far from men.
Oh, she meant to say should.
Yeah.
She sounds drunk.
Like, I'm pretty sure we've shelved, and it's a game that only we've played, and we thought of it, and everyone's going to play it in the future.
It's great.
And we'll be the best place to do it.
You got
to
stretch that leg you're going to kick with, though, otherwise your leg's going to hurt tomorrow.
If you play over 9 holes of shelf, sure.
Ooh, your leg gets sore, because you're just, like, clearing, crossing the quad, essentially. Yeah. There was one great moment. I think it was Clausio that did it. We had a goal. One of the things was the bell on ISU's campus on the quad, the big bell. And it was like the last hole, and it was like super far. It was like almost the whole quad. And on Clausio's second shot, like from like half court, essentially, he just got the shoe to stick into the bell. Like it landed and stuck in between the bell and like the thing. And it made a bong. And he's like, he just won.
That's
like,
a winner.
That seems over. Like the sort of hole where like a free shoe should pop out of that bell at the end.
The shelf guide should give you like a 1,000
just one
points.
Brand new shoe.
So you can play that game pretty much anywhere.
Yeah, but it's most enjoyable outside. Because otherwise you're confined to, say, a rehearsal space. Mm-hmm. And you're just kicking it from one end of the room to the other, you know.
It's still fun, though.
Yeah.
Indoor. I guess it's called mini shelf.
I remember a lot of bubbles in spring. When I was a kid, I'd always
blowing bubbles.
You have to get bubbles at some point. It's just like an outside thing.
Bubbles is a big spring.
You're like you're a little kid, and your parents want to like, go outside, you know, go get some fresh air. It's like, what am I supposed to do? It's like, here. 99 cents, just some bubbles.
Here's some temporary
chalk.
Surface.
Yeah. Chalk is like the best
parents used chalk more as a diversion to get me out of the house.
See, my parents were annoyed with the chalk. Because, you know, they didn't want all that BS on their driveway.
Well, I was nice about my chalk. I wasn't, you know, drawing dicks and stuff.
Well, I was drawing dicks.
Like cool thing.
I made my driveway.
With dicks.
Like a dead body or something.
With a dick.
Like a crime scene.
Yeah, dead body.
What did you draw?
Dick
cool?
That pee-pee.
I turned my driveway into a interior of a spaceship.
Of course.
Sweet. No, but you spend the entire afternoon doing it. Like, he's outside. Let him come back in.
You just totally decked out your driveway.
And they walked out and like, what the hell have you done to our driveway? Like, it looked awesome. Like,
so you'd have like the entrance and
entrance,
then like the hallway.
Like turrets and escape pods. Like,
oh, that is pretty sweet.
Yeah, you make like a floor plan.
The floor, yeah, it was like
did you end up getting crushed like the next time it rained and washed all the way?
Because it just looked like it melted. Oh, the spaceship melted.
Did that start you on your career of spaceship architecture?
It did.
Yeah.
Wow.
How's it going for you?
I would always go out and start to play basketball, too.
Hell yeah.
Basketball. Yeah, I was
lightning round.
Terrible, but I did it.
But I had a net in my driveway, so I was like, you might as well.
Me too, it was great.
I would shoot on the net in our backyard, but like I've never been a person to actually play basketball with other humans. I feel like I've reached a point where I had never like really played a whole lot of basketball enough to get good at it all, and at this point I'm like, no, I can't play. I'm just gonna embarrass myself.
Carnival basketball from now on. That's it, guys.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. You want to play a game of horse? I will be marginally competitive at horse.
Mark,
that is all I can do.
Mark, Nick, and I had a game going for a while. Yeah. We would go in college to a local gym. They had memberships, and I would like piggyback on because I was poor.
And I know every time you're like, hey, because you got a free visit day, and you just sort of saying, I'm visiting, and it worked like every week to show you how smart people were not in the
visiting.
Rec center.
Or how little they cared.
How little they cared.
Probably more that.
And we would play.
When you play 21.
That's when one of our friends, James S., the Shermanator.
The Shermanator.
You're doing a shitty job.
Good job not saying his last name. Yeah.
No, what is his last? I don't know, because I said something else.
True.
We were playing basketball, and it was great. And actually, a couple of other friends were there. Commodore was there, and we were playing basketball, and we're like, where did James go? Because we just left him to go punching in the punching bag room. And he would just be screaming to himself. Like, rah,
rah, rah. Does he want you telling people this?
But he's in Hawaii. It doesn't count. He probably won't get this until hours from now. So
the internet doesn't work well, like this. Yeah, all the time.
No, Hawaii is 6 hours in the past. I tell him that all the time.
Exactly.
Things don't happen.
No, they just exist in an actual past.
Right? Okay, since we're talking about time, I mentioned earlier.
Did you finish your story? Hour.
Did not.
Sorry, I'm sorry. We got
sidetracked. So we're like, where's James? We're playing basketball, and we just look, and there he is with like his karate gi on, his punching gloves, and then this rec center gave out popcorn, and he had like 3 bags of popcorn, but he was eating it with his boxing gloves, and popcorn was going all over the court. And all these other people were like, we're playing basketball, we're not that good, but we're sweating. All these other like very athletic people are just like, who knows that guy?
Like, who's responsible for this?
Who the guy hell eats popcorn with boxing gloves?
Just on the court.
Are you going to fuck with that guy who comes into a basketball court in a karate gi eating popcorn like he doesn't give a fuck?
And he's giant and it was just screaming while punching for 30 minutes.
It was easy for us to know when our game was over because it always ended with people who knew what they were doing being like, hey, you guys want to play 3-on-3?
No, of us would just go.
Were you sure that the punching bag wasn't just one of those giant bags of popcorn bag? And you just finally burst through it and just ate it all?
There was kids I played basketball against in the spring. I lived in a very Polish neighborhood on the south side, and it was the Gubalas, which it sounds Italian, but I forgot how it's spelled. It's got some Polish spelling to it.
Were they Ballin Gubalas? Did they?
We call them Goobies.
The Goobies?
And the thing was, we would put if we put them on the same team, they would get into fights and they wouldn't be able to play well because they'd be at each other's throats.
Oh, that's how my brother and I
So if we ever wanted to like build up our self-confidence, we'd challenge the Goobies. And I mean, we really wouldn't be winning. They would just destroy themselves.
Yep.
More than victory. Just shoot it into the basket. You know, it felt good.
Yeah, dude.
That was like my most triumphant basketball moment ever.
I played basketball this last semester while I was on tour with MI, and Drew was super strong and very athletic, but the rest of us are not. And we played for like 20 minutes. No, we played 30 minutes. We played 3 first-to-10 like by ones games, and oh man. My face is just like blood red for like 2 hours because it's so much. It's just running like back and forth and stopping and like fighting because you have to like push against each other.
Yeah.
It's like, ah, oh, I don't want to have to push you. And just let me shoot the damn ball. I don't want to have to knock through you and shoot a ball. That's hard.
See, that would happen for Mark, Nick, and I after like 5 minutes. And
I know.
That's how the game would end.
I remember in high school, like, a huge thing was Ultimate Frisbee in the spring. And, like, we would go every day after rehearsal to the party and play Frisbee.
I was just going to say Frisbee. I'm in your same wavelength right now.
Did any of you ever play Ultimate Frisbee not high? I never played Ultimate Frisbee.
Yeah,
I just assumed
normal.
That everybody that plays Ultimate Frisbee is high.
I play normal. It's
like
fun, yeah.
You're all sober. Like, I always am.
Well, because I was.
I'm sorry. It has a stigma.
I feel like frisbee is a more like it's got kind of the feel of a football or basketball
but
type game.
Can do it.
Oh wait,
but
no,
yeah,
I was thinking of froth. Oops,
froth.
Frisbee golf.
Oh,
that's the story.
Oh, okay,
because ultimate frisbee requires
like
actual.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, like,
I played froth as a kid all the time. We had a froth court within like 5 or 6 minutes walking distance.
Dude,
from
someone
my house.
Built one in Palatine as their Eagle project. Everyone else for Boy Scouts. Everyone else's Eagle project was like helping elderly people or like working with special needs kids. And this dude's like, I'm gonna build a frisbee golf course.
That's awesome. He built something that everyone.
Yeah.
Can
oh yeah. Watch. People use it all the time.
Yeah.
I still feel like it was not adequate social service for your Eagle Scout badge.
Mark, I can tell you, it was really annoying because you and I used to have another summer activity, like right in the spring. Sorry, springtime.
Can golf.
Coke can golf. It was annoying because we used to be able to. We've talked about this hill numerous times, this Palatine Hill.
Make out point.
The
make out point.
Make out point.
For you.
Yeah, I
Mark steals the podcast. But
God damn it, Mark.
It's right, because you're a fucking ugly teenager.
Mark and I would call each other. It's like, He's like, pick me up. And I'd be like, okay, I'll get a 12-pack of Coke or something.
No, we'd get Diet Grapefruit because it smelled best.
It did. And we'd get, like, Mark's dad's golf clubs. We go to the top of Makeout Point, which is really our golf course, not Makeout Point, and just chuck these cans up in the air and just swing at them as a...
You shake them up a lot.
Shake
first.
Them up a lot, yeah.
A ton.
Oh, spray of just the most disgusting smell ever just wafted over Palatine.
We'd have like really emotional discussions though, and just be blasting Diet Grapefruit
cans.
We used
to do it freshman year of college too, when I was like, "Man, I can't find a girlfriend."
And you guys told me about it, like you came and met me at Steak and Shake after you
reeking
did it
of soda.
And I was like, "What the hell did you guys do?"
And, Cloud was busy making out, so she missed out on all the fun.
Yeah.
No, you guys, well, you actually just reminded me of something I used to do with my cousin. I don't know how this started, but it's called the Coke Party.
I've been to a lot
Go
of those,
on.
Not like the drug, but you get a bunch of cans of Coke or Diet Coke, and you just poke a hole in the top and shake them up and then spray them in the air and bathe in Coke. It's called the Coke Party.
How much Coke
do you
use?
Like, you have can after can. Oh, yeah. It's
like,
probably pretty
What's low. The total Coke wastage we're talking about here? How many cans
total?
Of Coke get ruined in this process?
Maybe, like... At least six. You gotta do, like, at least six.
Is this an outdoor activity?
Yeah, you go outdoors, probably wear, like, a swimsuit or whatever, but then you can, like, jump in a pool or, like, whatever after. But it's so
fun.
That's
not good for the pool.
Everyone's gonna come out with a sticky sheen on them.
Coke party's the best.
You're talking, like, six Cokes each?
I mean, depends on the day.
Depends on how crazy the feeling is.
Wait, so there's, like, five girls.
We should hang on how coked up they get.
Let's have a Coke party this summer.
You poke it, you shake the can, and then you let it fly.
What Mark, I'm not going to do it.
Octavarius presents Coke Party.
No, this is going to ruin one of us someday. We're going to be able to get something important, and there'll be tape of us going, we're going to do a Coke Party. And then that's all they're going to cut it.
Well, you just did it.
There you go. I single-handed
Chris
it.
Bogue, you will never be senator like you always wanted.
Give it up now.
Chris Bogue wants to crack down on hooligans.
They'll have access to the whole clip. I'm sure no one would ever selectively edit something and use that to convince, you know, who would ever do that?
Fox News?
It would never happen.
Yeah. I actually have a special place in my heart for Frisbee golf because there was a time in my life where that's all I had.
Yeah, I can see that.
Did you have to build a course yourself?
one of my birthday presents was a frisbee golf like course, but you had to set it up in your yard yourself to like play.
What was the net like? Because I know my course by my place was like a cage.
I know. No, I know what the real thing is.
Okay,
that's what really holds the special place. This little thing was it's like a stick with like a plastic flap, and if you hit that flap with a frisbee, it would knock it down. So it was different. You had to like...
Yeah. Oh, okay.
But when I moved to Illinois, I didn't know anybody. And it was like middle of summer. And I'd broken my hand that summer on my birthday playing Ultimate Frisbee. And then I moved here and I played Frisbee golf when I got here because I didn't have anything else to do and I didn't know anybody. But it was. I also realized it was probably great therapy for my hand because I slowly learned how to... throw a different kind of disc, so I was using my hand because you throw them different.
Uh-huh.
I had to use my hand in different ways because with the forward, like a backhand, a forehand throw, the tomahawk throws, all the different throws I'm throwing with my thumb, like helped my hand sort of be normal real mm-hmm. easy and like heal completely within a couple months.
Makes sense.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Interesting that frisbees broke your hand and then frisbees helped to heal.
Yeah, well.
Full circle, man.
Yeah, you know, it is a circle.
Frisbees, getting people back to square one.
When I was in elementary school, I actually saw the Flying Aces, who were known as the greatest trick frisbee team in the nation at the time.
Out of how many?
Yeah.
That's a great question.
These, like, the guys that are really kick-ass at devil sticks? What's
yes.
the deal?
Yes, they actually do devil sticks as well.
What?
Yes.
I totally remember devil sticks.
I had devil sticks.
I bet you were great
Springtime's
at them.
Springtime's a great time to whip out your devil sticks.
Wait, yeah, Keith has a lot of random talent that he's just, like, he's good. He can juggle, and he can do just, like, these random little things. You would be good with devil sticks.
Yeah, they were okay. I didn't like them as much. I liked doing that, the... Diablo, like it's a
but that's
big
what,
giant
that was when you were an ugly teenager. Now you're a super cool adult. Yeah.
I don't need all those skills. Keep I only need hand flute. That's the only cool skill I need.
Can you say touch well?
No, I never did. Actually, I did try. I tried to see how to do it, and I'm like, this is stupid.
I did the same thing. I was like, I saw a commercial for it, and I was like, that'd be really cool to do. And when I, like, the first time I did it, I was like, this is dumb. Like, the dumbest thing ever. I might as well be doing dishes.
Yeah. I tried doing the juggling cups, too. There's, like, the style of juggling that you hold two cups, and you toss a cup between, you, like, do tricks with
the cups. Kids compete on ESPN with that.
ESPN
yeah,
2. Cups. Not ESPN. Oh,
sorry.
ESPN 2.
Sorry. Thank you.
Sounds like something that would be on the Ocho.
Yeah, right.
It's also like boxes. Like you juggle boxes, you hold two boxes, and you sort of. It's really weird. It's a different kind of juggling, but it's really neat because it's all.
I've seen that in the circus. It's really cool.
Yeah. I learned.
Do you trap it in the center?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I did a little of that. It's hard. It's fucking hard. It hurt when you miss. Because if you miss it, you just crash your hands together with blocks.
And then the third block hits your toe.
Yeah, it's just, ow, sharp. It's like. But I also. I learned how to do, like, knives and torches.
Cool.
I did torches a couple times, though.
Wow.
Lauren, have you been playing podcast bingo by yourself the whole time?
Yeah.
Do you have bingo yet?
I did.
She's at a bingo for, like, 20 minutes.
I can't understand how you can actually play the bingo while you're doing the podcast.
That seems like cheating.
Yeah, because you're cheating. How many times did you set us up?
How
many times did you set me up?
Have we just been your puppets, Lauren?
Answer the question.
I may have started off the Obama conversation.
So you and that was the one you had left. So you deliberately steered us into getting you a bingo for your own personal game.
Bingo!
You made the card.
She
drew
me in to tell her to shut up.
Why didn't you just like leave the card blank and fill it out as you went and get a bingo in the first five things you choose? It's your card anyway.
We'd have had to believe you.
You're like the Pete Rose of the Octavarius podcast. You will never get in the Hall of Fame.
No.
God is my witness. You will never get in the Hall of Fame.
He's quoting Scarlett O'Hara.
You're
what?
Inside.
What the fuck are you?
Are you trying to force another
school? No, that has nothing to do. The whole thing is not on here.
What would BWO do for someone like Scarlett O'Hara? You know, a lady. What would BWO do for a lady?
For a lady.
For a lady.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
I would do something for the ladies.
It's time for BWO does something for the ladies.
Hey, ladies. I just want to let you all know that I do think you all look better with age. As you have gotten to where you are right now, you look the best you've ever looked. Also, I'll totally take you frolfing someday. And I'll listen to what you have to say.
Oh, yes. That was BWO does something for the ladies.
But not really for Lauren, who set me up. Who set me up.
Is BWO does something for the ladies on there?
Actually, it's not. That's going to be on my next
really?
One.
Ah, son of a... This is...
Mind games, Lauren.
Yeah,
mind
I games. Feel a little betrayed.
There's a conflict of interest. You can't be a bingo player and a...
All right, I won't play
and the master
while...
of the game.
Yeah.
I can already see her taking notes sitting next to me on what else to put in future cards. Spoiler alert. We're going to say dick in pretty much every podcast, Lauren. You might as well make that the free space.
Oh, right. can we just... I think we should write free space. Octavarius says dick.
A lot of the bingo, like, things are, like, mandatory things we do. like saying goodbye, everybody.
Yeah.
Like, that's...
Like Mark opens the mail.
Well, maybe she didn't mean just saying the word dick. Maybe she meant like when we emphasize it, like dick.
Like that.
Yeah.
So
like,
that's a free space if I
ever. Yeah. We usually
we
do.
We get at least one good dick.
My dick.
Yeah, I mean, we'll throw dicks out all over the place.
Hey,
just
man,
flinging
I haven't mentioned
dicks
Robert
around.
Pattinson. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
there you go.
Mark
you
it off, sweet. Lauren. Mark it off.
You are the Pete Rose. Never in the Hall of Fame.
What would Robert the Settler of the Week say about this?
God, I already had bingo. You're not playing for anybody. You're not giving yourself a prize.
I want to see if anyone else got bingo who was playing at home.
Whoever's playing at home has long since gotten bingo. Now you're just trying to mark every space.
Reminding me of the website, and reminding me of Robert's Southerner of the Year Award, just reminds us always that Octavarius was born in the spring.
Yes, we're coming up on our birthday soon.
Yeah, it's about a month. It's a month from now.
What's Octavarius' sign? Does anyone know?
The updated cyborg sign, because there's a new thing.
Yeah,
star sign.
Yeah, we would have to be updated because we were born after 2000, or we were born in 2009.
Yeah,
yeah. I don't know. Does anybody know what the March sign is?
I guess we can
look
it up.
Do you really think the fate of the Octavarius can be affected by these stars here?
That's right.
TV
he's not from here.
That's true.
Yeah. Maybe.
Pisces goes till March
21st.
What's
the date? What's our birthday?
You know, we can assign him one as per our earthly customs, but that bears nothing on him.
Yeah, none of the horoscopes will become be always true.
They're all irrelevant to him.
Yeah.
That's true.
Well, what's going to happen at our 2-year anniversary?
We may be done.
We'll probably say the word
because our 2-year anniversary is the final night of Battle for the Belt.
Oh, that? God, that's
where we
so
decide
right.
Our
what
destiny.
Are that?
As we know, oh boy, Octavarius might be ripping apart at the seams as we speak.
Yeah, we all hate each other right
we
now.
We all totes hate each
we're
other.
We're not kidding. We're really not getting along.
Shut
right
the
now.
Fuck this up, is... Chris.
I already told you guys how gorgeous I was.
God, you're an asshole.
Hey, what's up?
Man.
There's so much hate in this room, you guys.
Hey. Let's all just watch some promos on the website within the next couple of days so this makes sense.
Yeah, because actually, we're not even hateful in the promos. Those are just... It's a very complex story that everyone will have to get into. But
when and where can people see this show?
March 13th at Stage 773. Sundays at 7, March 13th,
and that's
March 20th, and March 27th.
A 3-week event that you can get a ringside pass for. It's a ticket to all 3 nights, and it'll save you a bunch of money.
We'll give you priority on pay-per-view.
Yeah, and get the full story. I mean, each night will be a separate show, but it is one giant 3-week, show. You go all 3 nights, you will get an entire experience.
It's a trilogy, yeah.
I think it will be an epic, epic event.
I think
it's going to be spectacular.
It's going to be
awesome.
It's going to be a real good way to start the spring.
Yeah. Just want to say, we've already purchased 2 fog machines and some sweet lights.
Some windbreakers? Maybe.
Might you see some ridiculous costumes? Maybe.
You see a lot of my legs? Oh, yeah.
Octavarius, battle for the belt.
Octavarius would. We're Aries. We're an Aries.
Oh, cool.
That makes sense.
That makes sense. Yeah. We're totally Aries. Yeah. Thank God.
Sweet.
No, I know.
Those are some pretty wise words, Nick, but were those your 7 words of wisdom?
Dichotomy, Nick? Nunga Dunga Thire! Then I will die.
That has, I guess, been Nick Mikula's 7 words of wisdom.
I didn't know how to count the elves.
Yes, dichotomonique.
Dichotomonique is 2 words, isn't it?
I don't know.
I don't know elvish.
Well, dichotomy is 1 word, so I figured that's what it meant.
Kata manique, so that's 3 words. Right?
Are you kidding me? You know this partially, LP?
Shut up.
Why did you learn this? You said you were cute.
I was.
You didn't need this.
No, I started reading Lord of the Rings when I had my first long-term girlfriend, and I didn't have to be cool.
Cool.
So,
all right.
You save the good bait for when you don't have a girlfriend.
Yeah, exactly. You gotta keep that worm I had to give to that fish to keep it alive for some reason instead of eating. Just fish for a pet or something when you go fishing.
Keith makes
analogies. Doing really good.
Yeah. All right, and on
my character's really showing through.
On that note, it looks like we are just about running out of time. So enjoy spring. Hopefully, it should be coming soon. I know I said the same thing probably 2 months ago when we did the winter podcast. But I'm sure it'll get warm any day now. It'll be great. And that wraps it up. So, again, check back on the website or on iTunes every week for a fresh podcast. Until then, have 8 days and a wicked week. Say bye, everyone.
Bingo.
Bye. Octavarius.com.
Hey there, Mr. Tibbs, don't be so sad.
Why can't I be so happy? Spring's
coming soon.
I have some tears
coming soon. Coming soon.
Oh, and follow us on Twitter.